The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because his destination was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and he rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus answered, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And another, he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks back to what is left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. This is a fascinating gospel narrative we have today. Now, I think I announced last Sunday I wouldn't be here for July. The Holy Spirit changed my schedule. That's what happens when you're retired. The Holy Spirit moves different. So I will be here for the month of July. I'll be gone in August, I hope, if the Holy Spirit doesn't change again. Let me look at the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke here. Fascinating. I reflected on this, I studied this, I prepared and wondered to myself what this teaching really means to me. So let me look at this with you. Read around through the Gospel of Luke here, and you'll find out that by the time we come to this section of the Gospel here Jesus has worked many miracles. Jesus has fed the multitude. At transfiguration, he has been transfigured. And you have two predictions of the passion, that he must suffer. And now in your Bibles you'll find the journey or the travel narrative of Jesus begins here with this text. When the time of his fulfillment was coming near, he resolutely was determined to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the symbol of the place of destiny. Place of destiny. So he faces his destiny. Now what's interesting about this is, when you look at it up close and study it, it's a bit confusing because, let me give you a little idea where all these places fit. Out there around San Dimas, that's Galilee. Get your imagination working here. That's Galilee. We are Jerusalem here in South Pasadena. Jesus wants to come from San Dimas to Jerusalem. It's about 65 miles. Let your imagination work here. And there are two ways to come. One is to come in by the 210 along there. The other would be to go down the 605 and come in on the 10 and come up this way. Now, if you go in the 210, you're going to pass through Samaria. And up there, there's a village around Sierra Madre. And they're Samaritans, and they don't like us. And we don't like them. So when Jesus' disciples come to Sierra Madre, they say, "We don't want you here." And James and John say, maybe we should bring fire and thunder upon them. Now, if you look back to chapter 3 in Mark's Gospel, verse 17, when Jesus names his disciples, the 12, he gives a nickname to James and John. He calls them Boanerges, sons of thunder. What does this mean? Are they impulsive? Are they ill-tempered? Are they reactionary? Are they aggressive? There's something about them. They are Boanerges, sons of thunder. And they say, we'll bring down fire and destroy the Samaritans. Jesus rebukes them. And so he goes on in this journey for 10 chapters. No mention of travel anymore. He's just teaching. He's just teaching for 10 chapters. And then by the time you get to chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke, he's in El Monte over there. That's Jericho. He went down the 605 and he's over here. How did he get from here, Sierra Madre, over to El Monte? El Monte is Jericho. And Jericho is 15 miles from Jerusalem. And it's a climb of about 3,500 feet. So it's a big climb up to Jerusalem from El Monte. And so Luke somehow, his geography is not good. Generally, his geography is not good. This is true. This is true. His geography is not good. But over and above that, he must mean something different when he speaks about travel. He cannot mean just covering miles because the geography won't fit. He's either going to go this way through Samaria, which is the shorter of the two ways, but goes through hostile territory of the Samaritans, or else more likely he's going to go this way through Jericho, down the Jericho Valley and up to Jerusalem, this 3,500 feet up to Jerusalem. So how do we read this travel narrative, which begins here in chapter 9 in Luke's Gospel? Well, there are two things that are very clear and very fundamental about the teaching of Jesus in this moment in Samaria. One is that we are nonviolent. We do not destroy those with whom we disagree or people who reject us. He rebukes James and John for their impetuous response to the inhospitality of the Samaritans. And the second thing is, when you look at the kind of people that are following him, they are not the A-team. They're just folks. They're hesitating. They're unsure. They're conditional in their discipleship. And they will not become fully fledged in discipleship until they have suffered, until they have gone to their destiny. And being empowered and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, only then are they disciples. Until that time, there may be here, maybe they'll follow one day, maybe not the next day. They must go through the journey to the destiny. And the destiny involves suffering, dying and rising again. Everybody's destiny. So to read Luke's travel narrative, it's not a narrative about covering miles. It's a narrative about life. So read on from chapter 9 up to chapter 19 in Luke's Gospel, and you'll find out the teachings about the narrative of life, your journey of life. That's chapter 9. Chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan. The fact that the outcast, the one who is put down, has the most love to give. Is there a teaching here? Move on to chapter 15, the Good Samaritan. The infinite love of God, modeled as the Father in the prodigal son. In chapter 16, you have a very interesting story about a rich man and Lazarus, a poor man. And the poor man is the one who is chosen, somehow blessed, rises into glory. It's about caring for the poor. Chapter 16. Chapter 17, very interesting story about 10 lepers that come to Jesus. He heals them, but only one comes back to say thanks. Teaching about gratitude or ingratitude. And chapter 19, these two chapters have very interesting stories. Chapter 19 has Zacchaeus. Chapter 18 has the Pharisee and the tax collector going to church, and the arrogance of the law-abiding religious Pharisee, and the humility of the tax collector who's a sinner, the one who is preferred. It's chapter 18. Chapter 19, very interesting story about this short man. His name is Zacchaeus. Remember him? He was a tax collector. He was rich. He was greedy, egocentered. He was a small man, small heart. And he goes through a conversion with Jesus and becomes a great man. He gives half his belongings to the poor. He shares his life. He goes through a conversion. What does this teach us about our journey in life? We must go through the conversion and the small heart, the miserable, petty, ridiculous, demanding, overbearing, controlling heart must surrender to Jesus Christ and become a gifting, generous, patient, forgiving heart. Read this. This is the journey of life. And then chapter 19, now Jesus is in Jericho and he's coming from El Monte up to Jerusalem, to the place of destiny. We're all on the move. Every one of us is moving toward our destiny. You're not the same as you were last year. Life isn't as it was last year. We're getting older. That's not the issue. The issue is we're changing. Now, sometimes we resist change and we fight change and we become miserable. You know, you've got people in the church that are, they're complaining about everything. And say, and then we go out and meet the world and say, by the way, we've got a fabulous church. How would you like to join a community of people who complain, miserable people? Why don't you come on over? We're great. This is a wonderful church. We're all complaining. We're miserable. We're angry. We're mad. What's the teaching? The journey of life. We're all going toward our destiny. And I want to invite you to read from chapter 9 to chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke and pause over just one of those stories. Good Samaritan, I don't care, the prodigal son, rich man and Lazarus, the lepers, the ingratitude, whatever, but pick one of those stories and say, wow, this speaks to me today. Get your Bible out. Look up chapter 9. Start reading. And one of these stories will strike you. And you will say, God speaks to me in this teaching. Whatever the teaching is. Because in the place of destiny, there is only one last word. And the last word is God's word. And the last word is love.